You know, one of the biggest challenges that Christians, of course, love is a big issue. But when you go out witnessing and knocking on doors or speak to somebody at a gas station, wherever it might be, Walmart, they know really deep down in their heart whether you really are, on the most part anyway, whether you are concerned about them or not. Because I've heard a lot of people in general that they go out and they speak to people, but they just hand out a tract and go on. I can't do that. Usually I can't anyway. Sometimes you have to when you go to a checkout stand where there's other people behind you. But nevertheless, they know whether you really are concerned about them or not. And that makes a difference, the Lord says. So I thought that message was a very good preacher here this morning. Well, let's go into a message here, how to counteract our weakest moments. And there's a lot of times that we are weak. Matter of fact, if we don't think we're weak, there's something wrong with us, right? We know we're weak. And that's why that we're to take up the battle, because we're not to be tired of the battle, but we can be tired in the battle. Let's look at, Luke, the 22nd chapter at verse 31. But before we do, let's go with a preface of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to come before you here this morning. We know that we're nothing without you, and apart from you, there's none other. And we know that the world is putting their emphasis on so much of the tangible things that are out before them. But we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is one thing that I learned the most at the very onset of it, and that was up on the Canadian border, working with the Indians, because the battle was there. We could not see it, but we could sure feel it. And Lord, I just pray that this message would be orchestrated by you, not me in the flesh, but you in the spirit, that might be food for our thought and abilities to be able to go out and be able to face the battle that cannot be seen. But yet we know that we are to continue in the battle. So I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word, bless the message, and anoint me with your spirit. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read there verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. All right, some people look at this in a different way. I'm talking about whoever it might be, that they're saying that you're to be converted to this religion and that religion and so on and so forth. That's not what it's talking about, is it?
Right.
It's talking about when we are straightened out in our mind, willing and able and determined to serve the Lord and have our doctrinal straight to be able to proclaim it before the world. And he said unto them, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison, to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, that the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And I think that's where I want to stop. So we know that it's important to be able to see the besetting sins that we all have. Peter here, he was a great man. He had a lot of attributes. He was bold. He was valiant. And he was assured that his Lord was with him. To the point, he was willing to die, wasn't he? But yet, what did he do? He went out there, and he tried to take the battle on his hands and do what? Slice the Roman soldier's ear off, right? So he thought it was a physical battle. But we know it's a spiritual battle. And many times, just like I was talking to a woman here the other day, she said, I just can't put my finger on it, why I'm depressed. There's nothing wrong with my circumstances, but I'm depressed. Why was that? Well, it could be a chemical imbalance. I'm not going to underestimate that. But the jails out here are full of people that are fighting a battle that they don't know what they're fighting against, right?
Right.
And I know it's important for us to know that Simon, he was fighting a battle, but yet the Lord says, when you are converted, strengthen your brother. And just down the way, and we'll go on to that in just a minute, how that he denied the Lord. Why did he deny the Lord? Because he's putting his emphasis on his own fleshly abilities, right? And we ourselves, when we go out and we speak to people, and I hope everybody in the room here, speaks to people during the week. And we say, man, is it doing any good? These people don't want to listen to what I got to say. No, that's the devil in your flesh telling you. Don't do it. Don't continue. They're not going to listen anyway. And I could go into a lot of examples there, but I'm not going to go into that. But we know that it's important that that Peter thought himself to be strong, but he was weak. And that's what the Lord had to teach him. And many times, we ourselves have to be taught lessons all the way through, and the Lord brings on circumstances. Amen. That we might be able to look at ourselves rightly. And I could go into a lot of scriptures here, but we can look at the newness of life or the old life, can't we? And the devil bring these thoughts into your mind. You say, where did these thoughts come from? You ever been there? Sure you have. All of us have. And we say to ourselves, I don't want those thoughts there. Amen. And so you turn loose of them. But many times you're caught off guard. It's kind of like Brother Carl knows what I'm talking about. I think he does anyway, because he goes deer hunting. And no matter whether you do it with a bow or whether you do it with a gun, you want to make sure that that deer doesn't see you. So you want to see him through the scope. I remember when I was over here to where was a wagon train here not too many years ago, right after my operation, I think it was, and I was in my cart early in the morning, and just about sun up, I could see a deer coming right at me. So what I do, I put my gun over across my handlebars, and I look through that scope, and guess what? My hot air out of my breath was fogging up my scope. I couldn't see that deer. So what did I do? I pulled one off anyway, and I missed the thing, and it went off into the brush. But you know, Satan is never out of focus, is he? He knows exactly what he's shooting for. He's shooting for you and for me. And you say, I can't quite understand it. Why I'm so despondent here today. Why I don't have the power of God. Well, there's one attribute that nobody in this room likes to follow, and that is what? The four-letter word, F-A-S-T. Do we like to do it? Not really, but we should. The disciples many times. Matter of fact, they don't even need to be Christians, because they say, the Pharisee or Sadducee, whoever it was, they said, I fast once a week. Well, they most likely weren't even born again, but they knew that they should fast. And so that's hard, but yet, if we want victory, what does the Lord say? This kind can only come out by fasting and praying. And I hope you don't condemn me for a personal illustration here. Up on the reservation, I fasted for 3 days. No gloat, no boasting. It is just a fact. And I went out on the reservation and knocked at this guy's door. And he had wine bottles lined up on his wall, kind of like he was proud of it, you know. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. I didn't do anything, but the Lord says that we are to suppress the flesh, that the Spirit might take charge. And that man got saved. And he was not a perfect man by all means, because he had to be taught by his language and his walk of life. So I could go into several scriptures about how honesty, we can walk in honesty or dishonesty. We can walk in faith or in doubt. Many times we do doubt. And we can walk in good works or evil works. We can walk in love, as it portrayed here this morning, or in hatred. Boy, it kind of reminds me of the story I read, and it's not just a story, it's a true account of this woman in Nigeria. Some of you have read The Voice of the Martyrs, but this woman over Nigeria, she was in fear of the Muslims, and they were going to harm her. And it happens all over the world, and I like reading those to keep me in check. Realize, and I have nothing to complain about. Even though I can't get around all that good, I've got nothing to complain about. And she was running from the Muslims, and they got her out in the bush, and she put her baby off to the side to hide the baby, and she came back later, and then they caught her. And they took that baby of hers and cut her baby up in pieces right in front of her. And she went back and still served the Lord. Wouldn't that be the ultimate? Brother, tremendous involvement. And I think to myself, I've got nothing to complain about. Not one least bit.
Right.
At least I'm on all 2 feet, or both feet, I should say. And so we know that the Lord wants us to be able to learn from those in the past. And that's why the government is trying to destroy our history, is he not? So that we won't have a testimony of those in the past. Let's look here about years later when Peter succumbed to the fall. And this is at verse 55. Let's see, 22. Let's see, where is it? 55 it is, in that same chapter. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid held him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a while another saw him, said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." There's a second denial in it. And about the space of an hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. In other words, let out a crow. And, you know, how many times do we deny the Lord? We say to ourselves, "I should speak to that person." And you say, "No, I don't have time. No, this person won't listen. No, I don't know what to say." You know, the list goes on, doesn't it? But we need to speak. By the way, I tell my kids this in the morning devotions at one time I did. And I said, this is our proving ground. This is what we will be facing at the judgment. And furthermore, we cannot work, for the night cometh when no man can work. We must work now while we have an opportunity. And if the Holy Spirit says, speak out, speak out. And you know, the Lord will bless no matter what. But yet, we go through trials and testing and say, sometimes, I'm not doing any good. I'm no value. Every one of us is made different, right? I'm made different, you, and you're different than I am. We've gone through different experiences. We've gone through trials and we've gone through tribulations. But God says, this is for your good. Stand and be counted, for you are a child, my child. So when a lion is hungry, what does he do? He goes out and looks for what? Food, right? Just like the old, one show that the kids watch. It's kind of funny how the old shark says about the fish are not for food. Let's see, I'm trying to think how that saying goes. But the food issue is what the lion wants to get. He wants to go out there and grab the strongest one out there that's going to run from him. No, he crouches down and he looks and he sees one out there that's lagging behind. Maybe a young one, maybe an old one, decrepit. But he goes for the weakest one.
Right.
And when we are weak in our spiritual walk with the Lord, and we know it, the Lord puts it in our hearts, and he says, I want you to be fortified in God's word. That's why every morning, and I say to myself, I can't do the things I used to do. It's kind of like I read about a woman that was in, to get on a little bit of rabbit trail here, this woman was telling this pastor, I believe it was, "Well, my life doesn't count. I'm on the end of my life, and I don't understand why that I'm not being used any more than I am." And the pastor said, whatever her name was, "Let's look at your children. You've got one on the mission field, and you've got one out here that's teaching a Christian school." And the pastor said, "Look what you've done. You have done a great job for the Lord." And it lifted her out of the boat doldrums and a despondency and despair. And she said, "You're right. I guess I'm doing something." Yeah. And sometimes we say to ourselves, "I'm not getting anywhere. There's nobody come to church. We speak to people, but they don't come. What's the matter with these people? Why don't you get them in gear, Lord?" And we say to ourselves, "I don't feel like of any value." So no, he doesn't go after the strong prey. He goes after the weakest. And then he crouches down and he waits and waits and waits. And it's like myself, and maybe Carl, went up into the tree stand looking for a deer. Why do we get up in the tree stand? To do what? Hide, right? And that's exactly what happens when Satan wants to approach you unawares and not aware of what is going on around you, and all of a sudden he slaps you upside the head with something that comes on, whatever, you know, the radio, or if you watch a little boob tube every now and then, or whatever it might be, they'll grab you and say, you are at your weakest point. So he'll wait for that prey to be off guard, and then he'll sneak up and he'll grab it.
Right.
Have you ever seen one of the lions, how they approach their prey? Well, there's even lions that get on top of a giraffe, believe it or not, and try to tackle that old giraffe down. And giraffes have their head clear up in the sky, don't they? So, Satan disguises himself, is what I'm saying is. And he will disguise himself in the politics. He'll disguise every way, shape, or form that he can and get you off guard. You know, a lot of trash on that TV, right? And it's so easy to get caught off guard and get into something that you shouldn't get into. And being leaders of the family, we need to take a strong stand and say, we're not watching that.
Amen.
A bad word comes on, get it off of there. So you are the target. The mind is the first thing to go. And early in the morning, or sometimes real early in the morning, like maybe 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock, you wake up and you say, why am I thinking about these things? You ever been there? When you get up or you wake up, and all of a sudden your mind goes way out there and you say to yourself, I need to be praying. I need to be reading my Bible, whatever it might be. And so the tactics of Satan are never cut short. He's always got you in focus. He always wants you to be able to be off guard so he can attack you. Have you ever been injured by a besetting sin like maybe worry, covetousness? I'm naming a few here. Covetousness, like Samson was. He had, what was his covetous issue of Samson's covetousness? Women, right? So was David, you name it. Women can be very much of a distraction, and to us men. Why? Well, Lord, is that something we can't overcome? No, it isn't. When you go to the Walmart, or like yesterday, we're going down the road and doing whatever it was, and here's these gals. You'd think that they'd be dressed in proper attire, being that it was in the 50s, but they had to have their shorts on, clear up to their crotch, really. It was that bad. They were washing cars, thinking, well, I'm justified to do so. Well, it's a distraction, for sure, just to, for us men to think about that, because it will get the best of you if you're not careful about it. So Saul, King Saul, he fell to the issue of pride, thinking that he was something else. You know, I've been around a lot of preachers in the past as I've traveled on mission tracks, and some, and I've stated this before, and some are very mellow and treat you like a, like one of them, you know, but others, they don't look at you that way. They really don't. Matter of fact, well, I won't go into that. I could get off on a rabbit trail there too. But Peter, he succumbed to impatience. He was very impatient, like we alluded to the fact that he thought himself to be strong. Thomas, he was known as the doubting Thomas. He was doubtful. And we can become doubtful. You know, some people say, well, the Bible is all right, for sure. Matter of fact, I know of a guy that says, I don't read much of the Bible because it doesn't apply to me. Well, it makes me wonder about his salvation, doesn't it? You? He doesn't read his Bible. I can't believe it. But yet he talks the talk. So Martha, she was vulnerable to business, busyness, to business for sure. And there again, I could go into a personal thing here, but I think I might. My late wife, she was so encumbered with fixing up the house that everything was out of order. I felt like sometimes I need to throw my hat in first before I entered. You ever been to around a woman like that? Bless her heart, she was a good woman, no doubt about it. She was staunch and she was valiant in her faith for the Lord. But yet she had a busyness that sometimes got in the way of her spirituality. Demas was attracted to this world. He loved the worldly attractions, and brother, can that ever get the best of anybody, doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
And Satan has his imp scouting out for the prey that is ready to be stomped on.
Right.
And we can become either oblivious of it or go on and be able to serve the Lord. So the main tool of the devil is all these that I talked about here, no doubt about it. But yet his biggest tool is discouragement.
Right.
And that's why we should pray. I heard about a man that's over in Douglas Baptist Church. Very profound in his preaching. Very good man. A young man. He came up to me and welcomed me when I was there. And I told him what I'd done in the past. He commemorated that and on down the way. But I found out he's got stage 4 cancer. Stage 4. That's the last of the Mohegans, you might say. Why? Why would the Lord take him away? And even his pastor has some physical problems, and his wife has some physical problems. Think of our pastor and his wife, right? Mrs. Butterbrook, she's got physical problems. Well, we say to ourselves, woe is me. And we think to ourselves, how do I am able to identify with somebody that's going through this?
Right.
Well, wait a while. You'll come around sooner or later. You'll have your adversities. And I think of Brother Dan, as he's going to go through that surgery he's going to have. We lift him up before prayer quite often because of the surgery he's going to have. We need to identify with other people. So, we think that we can get even with sometimes people, and I'm going to go into an issue of wounded targets. Let's turn to Proverbs, the 20th chapter, as we can see that there is wounded Christians out there that need our help. And sometimes we say, well, they don't have any trouble. We don't know what's in their mind. And it fits right along with the message here this morning, doesn't it? For it's loving. They can know your fruit by the way that you live. Let's look at 20 at verse 22, I think it is. Let's see. Proverbs 20, 22. Am I in the right place? Yes, right here. Say not, I will repent, recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. So many times we don't look at other people's adversities as we need to until we go through some problems. I can't identify with Brother Carl and his intro problems. And he can't understand sometimes, and rightfully so, he can't understand about the limp leg I got, and Brother Dan, I can't understand sometimes. But yet, as we go through some adversities, we can identify with the brother of having an inability to walk around as we should. So, let us continue to fight the good fight of faith. And in the times past, I've been injured by someone that has let me down. Have you? Of course you have. And something hurtful is done, or been someone has stabbed you in the back and robbed from you, or cut you down, or whatever shape or form it is. And I've not been cut down, and I've not been stabbed in the back lately. I need to put a zipper on my lip, right? Because you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. So we know that the Lord will repay. Somebody stole money from me in the days past, and I said, Lord, and to my late wife, the Lord will take care of it. You watch and see. And the Lord did. Mm-hmm. He kept dumping the blessings. As long as we do not have that grudge. And just like Job, his three friends, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, I believe it was, they went at him like stink on a dog, didn't they? But yet he himself knew that the Lord was going to take care of him, and the Lord did. Let's look at James, the 3rd chapter, at verse 14, way over here. James 3, I think it's 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth from above, but is earthly. Descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Boy, that's a big involvement and endeavor to tackle. We say to ourselves, well, somebody treated me wrong and I'm going to give them their own medicine. Have you ever been there? Of course we have, right? Whether it be unsaved or saved or whatever it might be. We know that Satan will try to reverse that process around. So we want to take on the things that are pure and peaceable and gentle. Reminds me of Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever... Now, I'm not quoting this verbatim. We could look at it, but whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good. Matter of fact, I don't want to chop it up. Let's look at it. Philippians 4 at verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Yeah. Kill them with kindness, right? Well, that's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? Kill them with kindness. You say, my employer, he doesn't really treat me right. We hear that every now and then, don't we? Who's my employer? But the Lord himself, of course. Yeah, and that's what we need to keep in mind. Yeah. He's the one that we need to please. Yeah. And bears repeating, if you don't mind a personal illustration. This guy that I was building a house, he and I were building a house up in Valparaiso. And I've said this before, but we're building this attached garage onto this house that we just built. And he come over there and he beat the daylights out of that door, that exterior door in that garage that I just put in. And he said, I told you I didn't want that there. And took a 16-ounce hammer and began to beat those studs out of there. You know, I just kept my cool and I didn't say anything. And later on, he treated me like I was a human being. But if I would have blown my stack and went at him like that I could have with my hammer and beat him in the head, would I have got very far? Of course not. So we know what I'm going back to is those things which are good report and there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. And that's where the devil is going to hit you, is right in your head and wanting you to be getting even than to get right.
Right.
So we must close up the wounds before Satan allows poison to enter in. I think of Absalom. Absalom, as he was hanging from the tree with his hair. Can you imagine having hair that long? Getting hung by the limbs of the trees. And Ahab, wasn't it Ahab that come by with the darts? You know, I find it hard to believe that it was just a little dart because it killed him, right? Could it have been an arrow? I don't know for sure. But he got killed because of his rebellion, and the Lord knew all about it, didn't he? He knew that he was trying to take over his dad's throne, and so Ahab come along and killed Absalom. And David said, oh, Absalom, Absalom, wished that it would have been me, more or less is what he's saying. And you know, we'd like to reach out to our family members. I've got a son that's rebelling, and you know that he has. And right now, he's been reading his Bible. Matter of fact, he's reading the very same thing I was talking about the other day in the jail. I was thinking to myself, whoopee, he's reading his Bible.
Amen.
What a day, a glorious day that will be if he gets saved.
Yes, sir.
So Stephen also, when he was martyred for his testimony of faith. Let's look at Acts, the 7th chapter here about Stephen. Acts, the 7th chapter. And we'll go to verse 16, way at the end. Let's read verse 59, I think it is. No, 58. Verse 57. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Of course, talking about Stephen here. And cast him out into the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Man, what an involvement that was. Lay not their sin to their charge. But yet we get opposed a little bit, and we blow our stack sometimes, don't we? And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Did he really fall asleep physically? He fell asleep in the Lord's hands, didn't he? He was received up into the Lord's hands. And Stephen was martyred for his faith, and he knew that this was a testimony to those. And I think about those Muslims. I think about these two people. This one woman, I think I've shared this with maybe one or two of you, how that this woman was taken away from her husband. It was over in Nigeria. And she was taken by this unsaved Muslim and taken to be his wife. And she bare a child by him. Later on, she was released and she went back to her own husband. And her husband received her with open arms. That'd be hard to take, wouldn't it? Be hard to take. And they went back and they began to lead others to Christ. What I'm saying is sometimes where it doesn't seem to be fair, things are going wrong at wherever we might be, home, work, or out and about, knocking doors, whatever it might be, and we get opposed by our Christian faith, who are we doing that for? We're doing it for the Lord, aren't we?
Yeah.
No matter whether we get opposed or not. So we know that the Lord wants us to stand firm and strong. And the faith that God gives us is only by him. And I couldn't help but think about this scripture here this morning. Frustrate not the grace of God.
Yeah.
And if it's by grace, it's not of works, is it? And God will give us the grace to be able to go on and do what he would have us to do. So don't let Satan take advantage of us and hurl those darts into our wounds, because sometimes we can have wounds and they will become very grievous. My wife tried to correct me on that. I would say grievous. But she said, no, I didn't write. That's grievous. And I said, okay. So let's look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1 in closing. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And verse 1, of course. This is very, very fitting for all of us, I know. But sometimes refreshing our mind is the best policy. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race is set before us. We only have one time to serve the Lord, and that is now. I keep reiterating that over and over in my mind. I got to keep going on, no matter whether I can walk up a flight of steps without any rail or not. I got to keep going on. Because there's souls out there that need you and me. And some people say, in this Calvinism business, it affects people. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Down in Bible college, they called it the sub-theology. Why'd they call it that? Brother Glenn, you know what I'm talking about? There'd be some Calvinists in there that wanted to get you off the beaten trail. And Calvinism says, well, if they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved no matter what you do. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey, as you want to say, because they need us.
All right.
God cannot do a work unless he uses it through you. Sure, he can. He can ring their bell over and over again. But we have to keep in mind, we don't want to burn our bridges. I think of my brother-in-law way in the past, and I got mad at him, and he got mad at me, and he got out on the street and burned his tires down the street. Why? Because he didn't want to hear what I had to say. But later on, my sister died with a gunshot wound in the head, and it left an emphatically impressed upon my mind, thinking, she was my sister, and hopefully the book that I gave her, that she got saved and she's in glory right now, I hope. And that's all we can do is present the gospel, no matter what happens. We can present the Word of God to people. So, as the Scripture says, let us lay aside all those weights that doth so easily beset us. By the way, the older you get, the easier it is to do what? Put on weight, right? Everybody knows that. but it's hard to take off, right? And so, in the spiritual sense, the older we get, we shouldn't let the sins begin to hold or weigh us down.
Right.
It's like a bunch of bricks weighting us down, and they will. And that's why we need to stay in God's Word. And it's never easy. I know. Brother Dave, when he has his devotions, I don't know whether he does it at night or in the morning, but I would say he probably does it at night like I used to do. When I'd get up in the morning, I'd get out there and say, I've got to get with the program. Then at night, you become weary, and then your eyes begin to get a little squint. and you don't have the quality that you need with the Lord. And I think to myself, here I am at my age, and I've got two youngsters, and they need to be instructed in righteousness. That's my job. Not only that, but to instruct others in the faith of the Lord. So Satan sees an open wound, and he sets a scope, and he's never out of focus. He always scopes in, and it's kind of like sugar diabetes, just like I was talking about, and I hope you don't mind me saying this. Well, I'm not going to say this guy's name. He's got sugar diabetes, and he doesn't take care of himself like he should. But nevertheless, you got to eat right, you got to think right, you got to behave right. Otherwise, the Lord can't use us. And if we let our physical bodies go down, and I'm not saying we all need to lose weight, okay? I'm not saying that at all as far as the physical aspect. But the spiritual aspect, get rid of that sin that pulls us down and gets us off on a tangent that we shouldn't. When we're wounded, we can either let bitterness or revenge overcome us. It reminds me, I was reading in the Voice of the Martyrs about these people in Colombia, and I was down in Colombia. It seemed like a peaceable country there in Bogota, but yet here lately, the Voice of the Martyrs in that magazine told about two people, well, several people, as far as it goes, and the policeman, believe it or not, the policeman walked from door to door, and in one day they shot 40 to 50 people in the head because they would not denounce the Lord. What are we going to do if persecution comes? And it will come. And hopefully it won't come to that point. But nevertheless, as far as the Antichrist and all those Christ-rejecting atheists, they want to bust in this door and pull us down, don't they?
Right.
Let's look at one more passage in closing. Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 54. That's not right. Unless I'm having the wrong spot here. I must have got off on the wrong chapter here. Well, I guess that doesn't apply here. But we know that we have been forgiven. That's what I want to bring across. By God, that we will go on, and therefore we can forgive others no matter what they have done to us. I've had people steal from me. I've had people rob from me. I've had people malign me and ridicule me and put me down. And I know that you have too from time to time. And that's why that we need to have a good, strong conviction in our faith. Not let any of these things overcome us. So with God's enablement, we can close up that injurious wounds and let the Lord take charge unless Satan takes advantage of us. And he can. You can become so bitter and so indifferent about people. I know of a guy down south. His name was Tom Humphrey in Worth Baptist Church. And Tom was a captain over the bus fleet that we had, about seven in the fleet. And I was one of the bus captains, and he was over the whole schmear. And he had a heart attack. And the doctor said, do not get riled up. And somewhere in the conversation, the doctor said, well, what makes you riled up? Well, my wife. My wife. And so he went to, or the wife was there, I guess, and he said, now don't get your husband riled up. He might die of a heart attack. or might have another heart attack. And lo and behold, this Tom Humphrey ended up committing suicide. Everything got the best of him. Can you imagine that? And I know that he sure appeared to be a Christian, sure did. Very spiritual man. Is it possible for us to get that despondent and so discouraged that we'd want to commit suicide? I fear sometimes about my eldest son committing suicide. And the devil will do anything he can to pump these stinking drugs into people and get them off the beaten trail and want them to commit suicide. That's exactly what happens. They become to the point that they commit suicide. Well, let's go ahead. I know that the ladies aren't quite done in there yet, but we must think about how that we can be overcomers and be able to forget and forgive no matter what, and let the Lord have preeminence in our lives that we might be able to be useful tools for His service. And don't give up. Don't give up. Just like the old stork trying to swallow this frog into his throat. And the old frog was reaching around his throat, protecting himself from going down into the throat. You ever see that? What's that?
It ain't over till it's over.
Right, right, right. You've seen the picture, I'm sure. And we know that it's not over because the Lord wants us to stay steadfast. And by the way, I keep thinking to myself, this is a mission field right here. It is, right here. And we need to treat it that way. I do in my mind, because I know that these Spanish people, they put on a facade and say, no comprende. Yes, they can understand more than you know. And so let's reach out to them wherever we might go. Whether we knock doors or whether we go to the filling station, go out to eat, go to a grocery store, whatever it might be, we need to tell people about the Lord. Because we're not, like Brother Dan says, not over till it's over. And who knows? Here I am at my age, at 72. I'm not going to give up because I might live to 102. Who knows for sure, right? I'm not going to give up. We can't let these things get the best of us, physical or mental or emotional, get the best of us. We need to hang on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us, allowing us to be able to have this time to reminisce over the things that maybe you want us to learn. And we know, Lord, that it's important for us to be an example, a testimony to others, for there's family members all over. Renee and I and the family are going to go over and visit her mother, that the dad is possibly have cancer of the brain. And he's 80 years old or 81. He needs to hear another time. And I hope that, Lord, you can use me to be able to be a testimony, a witness. And the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon this man that he might get saved. We need to have the urgency of getting the gospel out, to be able to speak to people about their urgent need. And not just fire insurance, but because of rewards. And, Lord, the only way that they can hear is if we tell them. And so help us, whoever it might be. All of us have relations that do not know you as Savior. And so help us to be able to take compassion, pull them out of the pits of hell, that we might know, Lord, that you want us to let all these besetting sins be put away from us and be able to have compassion making the difference. So help us to be able to please you in what we do throughout the week ahead. Thank you for, there are ambitions not to be saying, well, they won't listen, they won't hear, and I don't have the right words, and wrong opportunity, all kinds of excuses that we can make, but we can tell others about you. We don't want to be set in that Calvinistic viewpoint and saying they're going to get saved no matter what, just like my brother said. Oh, I'm sure that she's heard it before. We don't know that, Lord. And that's why we need to be an instrument used for your righteousness to be able to tell others about their depraved condition. So help us to be able to be the spokesman you'd have us to be without any apology, without any reservation. We ask all this to be in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.